Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm your host, Jason Logan. Welcome back to the Wednesday episode of the podcast. We're talking golf betting, more specifically Masters betting, with the first major of the golf season here, teeing up tomorrow. We're rolling through Easter weekend as well, too. It's going to be a good weekend. We got a great lineup on the show. That was a giant thunderclap, if you haven't heard. Massive rain for Augusta as well, too. I don't know if Mike picked that one up. Scared the poop out of me. We got a great lineup today. We got Jeff Sherman, Golf Odds, at Golf Odds. He is the VP of Risk Management at the Superbook and one of the prominent golf odds makers in the business. We've got our guy from Covers.com, our PGA golf analyst, live analyst, Chris Gregories. He's going to join us, give his bets for the weekend at Augusta. And then, of course, we're going to have our guy, Arthur DeCesar from the Superbook. He's going to come in, give us those action reports on the Masters, as well as some NBA and some other stuff, talking baseball as well, too. Right from the Mecca of Las Vegas on the 2-minute drill. So before we get started, Dell, I showed you this earlier. This is, and Kenny Loggins led us into the show today. This may be the greatest plus EV purchase in the history of purchases. It's going to sing it for a little bit. $8 of Value Village in the box, which is like the secondhand store, if you're not familiar with Value Village. And for those that can't see and you're listening to the podcast, it's the dancing gopher from Caddyshack. It's amazing. Life-size dances. Dell, any bets for the Masters? Any plans for the Easter weekend?
No, right now I'm just on the boosts. I took the Tiger boost to make the cut, and I took the Scheffler boost to finish in the top 10. But other than that, I'm interested to hear what these guys got to say, and then maybe I'll make a couple bets based off what they give me. So
nice.
We'll see.
I'm also in the boost caboose with you this weekend as well, too. I grabbed those as well. I got a question for you, though. With it being Easter weekend, and my kids are jacked up, Easter Bunny's going to show up here on Sunday. Your favorite Easter candy?
Oof. Got to go to the mini egg. I think that's mini eggs are just the best. Just a classic. You can't go wrong. All reliable, you know? What about you? I feel like you're a cream egg type of guy.
Ah, see, that was going to be my next question. Is this is a decisive one, because Cadbury cream eggs, which are like that classic Easter candy, do you enjoy those, or are they just too much sugar?
I can eat one. So if it's the large cream egg, I'll eat one of them. If it's the mini, I can have three.
Yeah.
Otherwise it just gets a little overload, you know?
Oh my God. The standard cream egg is a lot to take in. That's a lot.
They're massive as well. Yeah. I remember when I was younger, though, I could polish them off.
Oh yeah. When you're younger, you don't care. Like that stuff isn't gross to you. I'm a big peanut butter chocolate guy. So I enjoy like the Reese peanut butter eggs. Those are quite good. Definitely. Chocolate and peanut butter sells it for me.
Even those big Kinder Surprise eggs. I don't even know if that's American. That might be just Canadian.
Think that is a Canadian thing and kind of a European thing. But the Kinder Surprise egg is like, that is an Easter morning staple for my childhood. Even now, man, I still put those away.
It's the best chocolate.
And then you get a toy. Hopefully you don't get a puzzle, because that's some bullshit, right?
Yeah, no one wants a puzzle.
It's a puzzle. Give me a little race car, or give me some like elephant spinning on a ball by his trunk or something like that. Don't give me no puzzle shit. All right, so we remind you before we get going here to rate and review the Sharp 600 podcast. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you don't. Helps us reach more sports bettors like yourself. And so let's grip it and rip it, buddy. 2023 Masters bets. He is one of the most prominent odds makers when it comes to golf odds, and you can take a swing at those odds at the Superbook. He's Jeff Sherman, their VP of Risk Management. Happy Masters. Welcome back to the Sharp 600.
Thanks.
So how much more action does the Masters take compared to, one, kind of the usual weekly PGA or LIV tournament, and then two, versus the other major tournaments?
Versus the regular PGA Tour, it's about 10 times the odds. LIV is about one-fifth of a PGA Tour, so that's not even in the conversation at this point. But a weekly PGA Tour one, it's about 10 times what we do there, and it's about twice the second major of the U.S. Open. So it's by far our largest golf wagering event of the year. It's not even close. And I haven't seen anything that's going to change that. So, you know, you get all these novice bettors that usually don't bet golf that'll show up and bet this one. There's tradition. People like the same course that it's played on. So when you get the other majors with rotations, you have to do more handicapping into that. So there's just too many constants in the Masters that is always going to keep it the largest wagering event of the year.
All right. So that kind of dovetails maybe into this question. So when you're cooking up odds for the Masters, are there any areas or stats or information that you would put more or less weight into compared to when setting markets for, you know, other majors that bounce around or just other weekly events?
Yeah. Well, when we do this weekly, you know, we weight current form versus course form, and it varies slightly on a weekly stop. But at Augusta, we really put a lot of weight on the course form. You often see golfers show up that are in poor form that have played well at Augusta, and they continue to play well at Augusta. So you can somewhat discount the current form sometimes and put more weight on the course form. Statistically speaking, strokes gained has been a very big indicator the last few years. And so strokes gained tee to green is something to look for here at Augusta.
Okay. And like you mentioned this too, the Masters, it's kind of the unofficial start to the PGA season. And like you said, it may be the first time people are betting golf. It may be the only golf bet that they place all year. And with so many new bettors, what are some things that you lean into as an odds maker that bettors should keep kind of front of mind when they're capping golf odds, whether it's for the Masters or whether it's going forward this season?
Well, the one thing that I always recommend is if you're going to get your feet wet, try to start with some matchups, because that way you only have to beat one other golfer. It's so difficult to beat a field of this week 88, a regular tour stop 144 to 156, and you find some attractive odds. And I'm not saying that not to get involved that way, but to increase your chances of long run success, start looking at some matchups where you just need to find someone you like or someone to fade, someone you really don't like to bet against. I often do that.
Cool. And you mentioned matchups, but like most sports now, the odds offerings just aren't outright winner. It's expanding, and we have matchups and we have props and we have missed the cut and all these round props and stuff. What are some of the more popular options with bettors beyond just the outright winner odds? And then what are some of those ones that like maybe the sharp guys would target as well too?
Well, we see a lot. You know, I've been doing a winning score prop on a weekly basis, so that's picked up a lot of traction lately, and you see a lot of that for the majors. This week, we have a unique situation with the LIV guys involved, and we did some LIV props. Will a LIV golfer win the tournament? Yes or no? And I opened plus 500 on the yes, minus 700 on the no. I've seen two-way action, but it's currently up to minus 900 no, plus 600 yes. The sharps have played the no in that one. We also have an index prop with all 18 LIV golfers listed, so you can have odds for the best finish amongst the LIV golfers if you want to get involved. That's been very popular amongst the public.
All right, cool. Yeah, they have, with that whole LIV tournament, you know, definitely you can chop these odds up in different ways. Rain in the forecast for the 4 days before we went on here. Rain in my forecast as well, too. I had thunder strikes turning my power out. It was a mad scramble to get back on. But rain in the forecast for all 4 days at Augusta, how do you see that impacting the course? And then how does that trickle down to scoring? And have you seen any action or adjusted any odds based on that, on the way the course will play with all that rain?
Yeah. And when it rains like that, it's going to make the course play longer. You know, you're not going to get that roll off the tee. So the ball is going to come to a stop in the fairway. And then on approach shots in for these guys, though, they will be able to be more aggressive and go at the pin. Cause it's going to stick around there and it's going to slow down the greens a bit. And that usually bodes well for scoring, and it's going to favor the longer hitters from that perspective too. But these guys right now, I mean, most of them just drive the ball so far that everyone's catching up to that aspect. Obviously McIlroy, Scheffler, those guys, Rahm, big hitters, and they're at the top of the leaderboard. But these guys are really going to be able to attack the pins and not have to be so position, worry about that so much on the greens like they used to do when it was a completely dry course.
Sure. Any guys out there? I know Rory's not, the weather doesn't maybe impact him as much as some other guys. Is there anything like almost like horse racing where you got some mutters? Are there any mutters out there, guys that tend to play well in the bad weather that you kind of keep an eye on this week?
Well, you can tend to look at some of the guys that have played on the European Tour that play in that week in and week out. They have that experience, you know, and we always lean to that when they get over to the Open Championship and you look from that angle. So some of those guys that can play in the wind. It's not supposed to be too windy this week, but you might have some gusts. But the guys that are more used to those conditions, so some of the European Tour players.
All right. So we know the notable guys that are out there. Any sleepers or guys kind of further back on the board that are drawing action either on outrights or matchups or other props?
Well, we've seen a little bit of movement on Minwoo Lee this week, and he was 150-1. Now he's down to 60-80-1 range, and we've seen sharp play on him, both in matchups and the outrights. And one guy to keep an eye on that's seen quite a bit of movement too is the amateur Gordon Sargent from Vanderbilt. You know, he's down to 300-400-1. He was a 2,000, 5,000-1, and he's a big favorite in his matchup against Sam Bennett, another amateur. But there's really high expectations for Gordon Sargent, and he might be somebody that, you know, if you're looking for a low amateur in that type of proposition, or even to finish top 20 or make the cut at some nice odds, I've seen respected play involved with him.
All right. No, good to note there. So you set the odds, but do you got any action down? You got any bets down or any leans either way here for the 2023 Masters?
You know, it's I do have a lot, and this is one of my favorite turns for the year, not just because of the Masters, but because of the longevity for the betting aspect. So you have the odds up for 8 to 12 months to look for things. And, you know, I've got some really nice prices. Jason Day at 150-1, Tony Finau at 50-1, Rory at 15-1. But if I had to look today with the current odds out there, I still like Finau in the 25-1 range. I think Sungjae Im probably presents some of the best value at 40-1. If you look at his matchups, he's priced pick 'em against guys that are 25, 28-1, and the outrights are 40-1. And with his course form and current form, he's somebody that can definitely compete at a nice price.
All right, yeah. I also like Dave this weekend, a guy that did not qualify last year, so maybe trying to make the most of it this year. And I got to ask you before we let you go, champions dinner, what would you serve as your champions dinner at Augusta National if you were the reigning winner?
Well, I'd have to default to my favorite stuff is sushi, and it would be some type of specialty sushi. And, you know, I don't know if I can promote anything here, but if you're ever in Vegas and you stop by off this trip at Senna Japan, they have remarkable sushi there, very creative stuff. And it's like flavors you've never had. And I would just go something like that. So it'd be fun.
All right, I can get behind that. I'm a big sushi guy as well too. So that's great. All right, that's Jeff Sherman, VP of Risk Management for the Superbook, and like I said, one of the best odds makers out there in terms of golf. Jeff, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. Good luck this weekend.
All right, thanks, Jason.
Chris Gregory back on the Sharp 600, covers resident golf analyst. Chris, happy Masters week. Let's cut to the chase here, buddy. Give me three bet bangers here for the 2023 Masters. What are your three best plays here this week?
Oh, man, stop. It's going to be a great week. I'm excited. Everyone should be. I'll start with Jordan Spieth. I bet him last week at 18-1, and a lot of that just has to do with how good he's been here. It's well documented. Everybody knows it. But he's been striping the ball a couple of months, and that always manifests itself here at Augusta. The one thing I'm worried about is if he could just find that magic on the greens with putter. If he does that, I think he's very, very few guys who can really win. So he's my first guy going down the board a little bit, and I'm going to go with the live guy. I'm taking Dustin Johnson here. The best price, I think, is 28-1. Biggest thing for me, look, he's been the most consistent player on the live tour. He's got a Masters win under his belt. He's got the strongest resume of any live guy, of the top guys anyway. He obviously won a few years ago. And look, if he was still playing on the PGA Tour, he'd be on the board at 18-1, 21, you know, 22-1 at most. So getting him here at 28-1, and considering he's one of the best golfers in the world, just kind of flying a little bit on the radar. My third is a guy we're all going to be rooting for, Corey Connors. He's at 50-1. His win last week kind of sucked some of the value out of that price. But he's still somebody worth backing, just considering his incredible iron play. You know how important that is here. In fact, he's finished inside the top 10 the last three goes here at Augusta. So if you're looking for a guy down the board, he'd be a pretty good place to start.
Okay. All right. So when it comes to matching players with Augusta, what are you looking for, and which players kind of jump out to you?
Yeah, I mean, the keys to success here are pretty well documented. It's about strokes gained approach. It's about green regulation. It's about giving yourself good opportunities to score, because the average iron shot's probably not going to do that, considering how tough the greens are and how complex they are. I mean, that ultimately why guys like Justin Thomas, guys like Corey Connors, guys like Lynn Spieth, the good ball strikers, you know, the best iron players here, obviously. That's why those guys play well here year after year.
All right. So there's no shortage of markets available here for the Masters. What odds do you have the most success in when it comes to betting, and who fits those bets for you this week?
I think the one of the fun markets, you know, not necessarily Master specific, but just in general, are the 72-hole matchups. Just because you can find so many different combinations, you can find whatever book you have, they've all got a handful of different combos. My pick this week, and I wrote about it, was Connors over Matt Fitzpatrick at FanDuel. You know, they have Connors at +108 to win that matchup, but to me, that's a no-brainer. Connors is coming off the win last week. He's obviously got a really good resume versus Fitzpatrick, who had a pretty average match resume and has been in really, really bad form for nearly 3 months. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just another way to kind of back a guy that you like and have a rooting interest.
All right. Make the cut markets are always popular, too, and they pay out relatively quick because we just need 2 days for that to happen. Any value players that you're either backing or fading this week when it comes to making the cut?
Yeah, the first one is one that I think everyone is rooting for is Tiger. And you know, the price has jumped around. And if you shop, you're going to find different numbers at different books. DraftKings, I think, now has the best price at -165. But Bet365 had this at -275 earlier in the week. You know, it's kind of -200, -250 range at a lot of places. He made the last year by 3 shots, and that was his first start back. I expect him to be sharper this year. I expect him to be better physically. And I just don't really envision a world where he doesn't make it to the weekend. To miss cut, on the flip side, I'm looking at Bryce DeChambeau, and I know he's a guy that a lot of guys pick on. You can get him at +25 to miss the weekend, and I'm kind of fucking myself into it. He missed the cut here last year. Some of that was kind of related. But there really hasn't been anything from his game or anything from his results or on the LIV Tour that suggests he's even close to what he was 3 years ago. He's never played well at Augusta. I don't really see that changing this week.
All right. And I think there's a bunch of bet boosts as well involved with Woods. I may have some beefed up odds on Woods to make the cut and have a rooting interest there in those first
few. Yeah.
Best value bets in terms of top, we can go top American first. Who do you like here to be the top US golfer?
Yeah, I mean, this board is stacked. Obviously Scheffler's the favorite. I think he's like +350. I talked earlier about Spieth. I really like him this week, but oh, Cantlay at +900 is somebody I like a lot. And if you're looking down the board even more, Willie Altoris, 29-1. He finished second 2 years ago, T6 last year. He hasn't been great the last couple of months, but he, you know, those results, and he also checks all the ball striking boxes that you need for a guy to play well here. More of a long shot, but you know, I'm looking at Spieth, I'm looking at Cantlay. If you're not just going chuck with a guy like Schiller.
Sure, and that success at Augusta does, I mean, that means a lot for this tournament.
Yeah.
Top Euro.
Yeah, this one is more, it's definitely tougher just because you've got Rory and Rom
essentially
so much.
You're like what, +200?
Yeah, they're, I think, +210, right? And +250, both of them are right there. Betting on somebody to beat both of them feels a little ambitious. You know, Holland is third on the board at 750. Other than that, there's really nobody I trust. You know, if you get to the rest of the world market, you know, looking at guys like Cam Smith, Jason Day. Cam Smith has all played well here. Jason Day is a guy that has been seemingly red hot for like 4 months now, right? You know, when you would hope is coming, or not, that's this week. We'll see. But, you know, there's just so many guys that have decent resumes and who are coming in form and can have a good week.
Yeah, I may have a little action on Day as well, too. A guy that did not qualify for the Masters last year. But
he'll be excited to be back.
Yeah, playing some great golf this year. I think a lot of injuries and stuff like that in the past as well. And he's a guy that has had good success at the Masters. So when he does show up, all right, three way. So we like to play a little game of marry, fuck, kill on the show. And I'm going to give you three way matchup props, and you're going to marry one. That'll be your best bet. You're going to fuck the second one. That could be a bet to kind of fuck with, maybe a flyer. And then you're going to kill one that you're fading, okay? So I got three matchups for you here. I got Jason Day, who we just talked about, Max Homa, and Justin Thomas. You're going to marry, fuck, kill those three, what's the order?
Yeah, I'm going to marry Justin Thomas just because if you look at these guys, he probably the one, probably the only one that I see winning. I'll fuck Jason Day just because of the story and comeback would be incredible for him to come back and win a major, yep. Especially after playing so well for so many months. That would be awesome. I'll kill Matt Homa. You know, he's one of my favorite guys on. I love that guy. I love root for him. He hasn't played well in the majors. He's missed cut twice here in three tries. Okay. He kind of feels the odd man out in this group.
Okay. All right. And this could be like you, who's going to finish higher on the board too, right?
Yeah.
All right. So the next pair or the, sorry, the next trio we have is Victor Hovland, Tommy Fleetwood, Justin Rose, Mary Fuck Hill. Who are you taking?
I'm going to marry Justin Rose. I like the experience element that he brings. He's also been playing really well this year. He won at Pebble Beach. I think that's given him a boost this season. Just a couple of cuts, but he's got a really good resume here at Augusta. I'll fuck Hovland just because he checks those ball striking boxes that we talked about with a guy like Will Zalatoris, mm-hmm. Justin Thomas. He kind of has those traits both off the tee and with his irons. He makes me a little nervous around the green with the putter, which I think will ultimately hold him back from winning a tournament like this. Mm-hmm. And then Fleetwood, again, the odd man out. I don't really trust him in a big spot. He's the guy I'll stay away from.
Okay. And our last trio here is the chalk trio. We got Scotty Scheffler, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, who's still going for that first green jacket. Mary Fuck Hill, those three top favorites.
Yeah, I think as complicated as this may seem, just because of how damn good they all are, I think the answer is actually pretty straightforward. You marry Scheffler here just because, look, he's the number one golfer in the world. He's a champion. He checks literally every box. You know, if you're asking me, if you tell me in 4 days' time somebody won this tournament by six, like, Scheffler's maybe the only guy I believe it to be. I'll fuck Rory just because of what you said. The history that would be made if he were to win this week is kind of unprecedented. He's been chasing this Masters for, you know, 8 years or 9 years. He's in a major championship drought for that long. He, you know, runner-up last year. He's a 10 here pretty much every year. Mm-hmm. I'll kill Rahm. I say that with hesitancy because he might be the best player in the world.
Yeah.
He's been quieter the last few weeks. Some of that was got sick. He also has a resume here. Of the three of them, he would be the one I would stay away from. But again, we're talking about three best golfers in the world, so we're talking fine margins.
Right. I have a little futures ticket on Rahm here as well too. So. Breaking my heart, brother. All right, before we let you go, I got to ask you, what are you serving as your champion's dinner for the Masters if you were the defending winner?
Hey, this is a great question because there was so much talk about Scotty Scheffler's menu.
What did he put on his?
Being so simple and American.
Yeah, like pulled pork sandwich or something like that?
Yeah, it was so American and simple. And I would probably stay in that lane, you know. Give me a steak, a ribeye steak, corn on the cob. Ooh. Some new potatoes, nice. Some cheesecake for something in that lane. Yep. You know, that feels all right for me.
All right, cool. See, I'm a Maritimer at heart, being from the East Coast. I would do like halibut fish and chips, and then home like PEI potatoes. And then you get behind that.
Oh, you're speaking my language.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. I'm a guy right home here. Home cut those are the ones where they leave the skin on.
Yep.
And then like scallops, maybe for an appetizer, dessert. I'm a big chocolate peanut butter guy, so maybe like chocolate peanut butter ice cream or something crazy like that. So that's where I would be.
We can make it work.
Now I'm so hungry, man. I haven't eaten lunch yet. I'm starving.
Let's get out of here and go.
Killing myself with these questions. No, that's awesome. Chris, tell the people where they can follow you this week. I'm sure you're going to have some live bets going, round to round bets, where they can get all your Masters info here on covers.com.
You can check my pre-tournament picks are on covers.com. I've got three of them there. You can find me on Twitter at Chris Gregory with three Y's. And yeah, I'm going to be talking to the Masters all week. I'm really excited. Look, this is best week in golf. There's a lot of history, a lot of stuff going on. So many different storylines. Tiger's back. Mm-hmm. you know, there's so many things to follow along. So it's obviously going to be such an incredible week, and I can't wait to get it going.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks for coming on. Good luck with all your Masters bets.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, 2-minute drill time with Arthur DeCesar of the Superbook. Arthur, Masters week, we're going to start with the outright odds. Which guys have drawn the bulk of the action, and what big adjustments have we seen here when it comes to odds and winning the green jacket?
Yeah, you know, a couple of the top guys, Scheffler, who's 7.5-1, was 16-1. Rory, who's 7-1, was 14-1. Guy a little bit further down the board, Tony Finau, 20-1, was 50-1. So a couple of guys to keep your eye on.
Yeah, Finau always plays well at Augusta, too. Prop markets, which notable, any notable action, any adjustments here ahead of round one?
Lowest round score, 64.5. We opened over minus 190. It's now basically minus over 120. I mean, so it's really been an adjustment there. So that's the one where I've seen the biggest move.
Mm-hmm. And nasty weather. Let's talk Tiger. We always have to talk Tiger here with Augusta. How's the book treating Woods? How's the betting markets treated him here? As he just kind of always seems like a live flyer at the Masters.
Well, you know, if Tiger wins this event, we get killed because that's just the way it goes. Tiger is 60-1. He opened 100-1. You know, I think the big one that people are more focused on is him making the cut, which is basically sitting minus 160 now. We opened at minus 140. There's a ton of Tiger fans. They love to come in and bet Tiger Woods.
All right. And how does, in terms of the grand scheme of sports schedule, where does the Masters kind of sit itself here? We're talking like Super Bowl, March Madness, all that stuff. Where does the Masters sit in that sports schedule hierarchy?
Well, Jay, you hit on the other two, right? We only have prop packets for three events. Mm-hmm. It's March Madness, Super Bowl, and the Masters. I mean, you know, we have over 200 props on the Masters this week. We'll have all the adjusted odds every round. We'll have new matchups every round. So Masters is huge.
Yeah, we had your boy Jeff Sherman on there talking. I mean, Jeff does it like no one else does it. So, all right, I heard the horn. I still got like four questions to get to. Masters Champions Dinner, what are you serving?
This is a great question. My mom's going to be mad because she'd have to do all the cooking. But it would be her linguine and clams. We know that much. And, you know, just as a dessert, we'll do a little cheesecake. We'll do maybe a little fried eggplant with a dipping marinara sauce as a appetizer. I think we'll go with the Italian spread.
Oh, my God. That sounds amazing. I'm so hungry. we got NBA headed down the home stretch here, just a few days left. Has it just been all Lakers action the last week and a half?
It definitely has, but, you know, we've also had to really be careful with a lot of these moneyline underdogs people are taking shots at. Mm-hmm. You know, you see spreads, 17, 18, 19 points, all these double-digit spreads. Everyone's now just taking moneyline shots because of what's happened in these last couple of days.
Yeah. We saw some, almost 20-point
underdogs
come through and win. Any team right now that could throw a wrench in terms of the NBA playoffs once we get to the postseason? Anyone that could be a sneaky kind of pick to upset someone in the first round?
So I don't know if they're really sneaky, but I think everyone has kind of assumed the East is Celtics and Bucks. Mm-hmm. I think the Sixers are live with Embiid. I do. I don't love Doc Rivers as a coach, but, you know, anytime you have Embiid on the floor, even if he's going against the Greek Freak, you might have the best player on the floor. I think the Sixers are live.
Right, I'm saying the Pelicans in the West, especially if Zion does come back, that team plays defense, and they are a very good team. We're a week into the MLB schedule with the new rules and everything. A little tick up in scoring, but we saw stolen bases tick up as well, too. How are the books adjusting? How are sharper baseball bettors betting baseball in the first couple of weeks here, or the first week here?
Yeah, it's definitely been an adjustment. You know, as far as the totals go, the public's always going to bet overs, so they were inclined to bet them anyway. But I think what's happening is they're going to bet the overs if it moves the half run or even gets to the full run. Then the sharps are very happy to come in and bet the other side and take the under. So it's been interesting to see kind of like the public sharp divide.
Cool. No, it's interesting. All right, we got a busy weekend coming up here. Best bet for the week ahead could be tonight's slate, could be tomorrow, could be the Masters, whatever you like.
I'm going to give you a Masters bet. We're going to give you Brooks Koepka to finish in the top 20 plus 130.
All right, he's a guy that generally comes with it during the majors.
Yeah,
we'll see he's a live guy as well too, right now.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting this week with these live guys because obviously there's a lot of tension there. But that's funny too that you mentioned live. We have a prop: will a live golfer win? I'm sure Jeff had mentioned that. And that's a big thing this week with a lot of these live guys.
I like it. It's a little internal rivalry within the tournament. Tournament within the tournament. I love it. All right. That's Arthur Cesar. Thank you, Arthur. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Dell. Thank you for listening. A reminder, please rate and review the podcast when you get a couple seconds. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you don't. We'd appreciate that. Best of luck with the Masters. This little fella, he's going to sing you out. We will see you next Wednesday. Good luck.